Part 4. Trouble for now, for our light and momentary troubles.
We would never make light of the suffering that people endure here on earth. No pain feels light and momentary while we are in its throes. There is no comparing pain either. Everyone suffers differently and uniquely. What is extremely painful to one person may be no pain at all to another. But any pain, great or small, is momentary in the light of eternity. As Paul wrote, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us," Romans 8:18. There is great comfort in knowing that our suffering will come to an end, that this too shall pass. And there is even greater comfort in knowing that glory awaits. This is the divine trade we make, an exchange of all that we have in return for all that God has. I am not sure what he gets out of the deal, but it's one I wouldn't dream of turning down.
Chapter 13, When Time Stands Still. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Psalm 13.
You don't have to be an Albert Einstein to sense that time is relative. Anyone who has ever suffered deeply knows how our sense of time radically changes in periods of acute distress. When our pain reaches unbearable levels, time seems to stand still. When at last our suffering gives way to happiness, time seems to thunder away. It was that way for both Jan and me when I was fighting my battle against cancer. During those lonely and anxious moments, it seemed as if all the clocks in the world had forgotten how to move their hands. And we wondered, how long is this going to last? Perhaps you're asking that same question right now. While the Bible calls our troubles momentary, to us, they often seem eternal. How long is this going to last, we cry. O Lord, have you forgotten me? I can't deal with this any longer. Take me home or restore my health, but no more of this. For centuries, God's saints have called this kind of prolonged distress the wilderness. Psalm 13 is a vivid snapshot of a man of faith stranded in the wilderness. He oscillates between fear and confidence, anger and gratitude, doubt and trust. He's been in the desert a long time. How long, O Lord? And his forced wait has caused him to grow anxious about his future. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. He asks four rapid-fire questions, three of which begin with the agonizing phrase, how long? The wilderness will do that to you. It wrings questions out of you like water from a sponge, and like water poured out on a sand dune, those questions get swallowed whole without any answers in return. The Psalms are a great place to turn when you need a roadmap through the wilderness. It is somehow encouraging to know that even the great King David, a man after God's own heart, had the same feelings of despair that we do. It somehow lifts our spirits to know that when he was being chased around the literal desert at the point of King Saul's spear, he struggled with his relationship to God. This man whom Scripture calls the apple of God's eye sometimes felt like a bowl of rotten fruit. Although I resonate with David's questions and fears and pleas in the first two-thirds of Psalm 13, I rest in his final two verses. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Until this point in his psalm, David poured out everything in his soul to God, and all he found there was sorrow, fear, despair, and anguish. But then it was as if he suddenly realized that no hope was to be found in his shriveled little heart. If hope was to be located, it would have to be sought outside of himself. And that was when he remembered, he has been good to me. Not life has been good to me, or I have been good to me, or my friends have been good to me. Rather, He has been good to me. And that changed everything. Only when we remember that God has been good to us can we turn from our fears and place our hope in Him. He doesn't mind that we pour out our hearts to Him, yet when they're empty, He wants us to come to Him and be filled. In the midst of suffering, we may not see any end in sight. The pain may even be intensified because we have no sense of God at a time when we need Him the most. In our ministry, we often are forced to watch as friends' suffering continues, day after day. The situation may go from bad to worse. And then the questions come. Where are you, God? We can't understand. Why don't you do something? A woman we'll call Sherry came to us months ago after she was diagnosed with cancer. After 7 surgeries, doctors amputated her foot and part of her leg. During this crisis, one of our staff members, Kim, helped lead Sherry to Christ. A few weeks after the amputation, Sherry's husband walked out on her, taking their children with him. And recently, a bone scan came back positive, raising new concerns about whether the cancer has spread into her bones. Sherry called today, wanting to know where God is in all her troubles. What would you tell her? She's scared and uncertain about her future. She's in the wilderness, and that's a frightening and lonely place to be. I don't know all that Kim told her, but I am quite sure she pointed her to the unfailing love of God, to the salvation He abundantly provides, and to the good things He already has given her. Kim could not promise Sherry that her husband would return or that the cancer wouldn't, but she could plant her feet squarely on the promises of God's unchanging word and guarantee Sherry that God would never abandon her, that He would never leave her or forsake her. Grabbing at straws? Hardly. It's more like grabbing an oak tree, like embracing a redwood, like taking hold of Mount Everest itself. God may never answer our question, how long? He may never tell us how much farther we must trudge through the desert. But if our wilderness journey leads us to Him, then the road we travel is as surely a highway to heaven as is any more rapid thoroughfare. Who knows when the trip will be over? Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, or next year. God does not give us an ETA, an estimated time of arrival. But if we belong to Him, He does give us a GTA, a guaranteed territory of arrival. And from what we can glimpse in the official travel brochure of His Word, the place is spectacular.